Jim take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
Saturday, November 4th, 2023, and time for another edition of Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Trading Post this evening. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful weekend. Tonight's episode is episode 49 and is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mr. Maleficus Scott too. So we're very pleased to have Mr. Maleficus Scott back with us again on the Snack Shack. And our, you know, Mr. Scott is no stranger to many in the truth community, and he's probably best known for his long-running show, The Limeys, with Mr. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, where they notice patterns about the ever-changing culture there in the not-so-jolly old Zio-occupied England. And from his readings from his grandfather's epic 1954 book, Hidden Government, where dear old granddad, Lieutenant Colonel J. Krieg Scott, DSO and OBE, whispers from the grave, "I told you so." Not unlike the ghosts of Enoch Powell, Nesta Hella Webster, and King Edward Longshanks. Now, for the newbies, we'll be opening up the phone lines after the bottom of the hour break, so you can call in and tell us what you want to talk about, or if you have questions for Mr. Scott. And, of course, you can call in at Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, because you can handle the truth at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, or toll free 800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, you can join us in the Trading Post chat room at bb9tradingposts.chitango.com. That's bb9tradingposts.chitango.com. Always something going on at the Trading Post, where we have the hottest news, the dankest memes, and the best tips for independent living. But if you're looking for a knife fight, we just assume you go someplace else. The sun never sets on the bb9tradingpost.chitango.com chat room. So I wonder what Mr. Maleficus Scott wants to talk about tonight. The weather? Did it ever get cold here on Blackjack Mountain this week? Down in the teens Fahrenheit, with that old wind monster howling all night long, that any summer projects not done by now probably aren't going to get done for a while. But Christmas is coming. I'm sure many in the high country were digging out the Long John thermal underwear if they were working outside this week, or at least wishing they had. Now, the elk report this week, the official North Kakalaki elk spotter EX96, that's Echo X-ray 96 reporting, no elk spotted on Blackjack Mountain to date. Repeat, no elk spotted on Blackjack Mountain to date, but I did see a nice six-point buck white-tailed deer down by the barn looking for the last of the apples that were too high for us to reach, that were blown off the trees by that old wind monster. And this is the end of the official North Kakalaki Wildlife Resource Commission elk spotter transmission. Or maybe he wants to weigh in on the big Watauga County debate, which was more hateful, angry black man from Atlanta, Tobias M. Jones, going on a Mad Max terror rampage against white drivers in his semi-tractor-trailer truck in New Boone, echo, 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 or some kid waving a swastika flag near the Carpetbagger Chicken Swinger Synagogue of Satan clubhouse. Or maybe he wants to talk about the two brand new Appalachian State University electric police cars that Chancellor Jezebel Everts just bought with our tax dollars to, quote, in an effort to reduce carbon emissions and cut costs, end quote. when I pointed out on X Twitter that obviously math and science aren't Chancellor Jezebel's strong suit, and that she's more of a virtue signaling social justice leader. Virtue signaling social justice warrior leader at $375,000 per year of our taxpayer money, I was promptly censored again by the App State Stasi. We locals just can't wait to see how these new symbols of globo-homo virtue signaling do in our high country winter weather, not to mention if they are going to collapse any bridges or parking decks on campus before they burst into flames. Or maybe he wants to talk about the latest rootless cosmopolitan carpetbagging chicken swingers invading Appalachia with their ill-gotten gains and setting up locally owned, family-oriented bars and beer gardens down in Wilkes County with progressive values and unisex bathrooms. Yes, the Lost Wombat is the latest place where fellow carpetbaggers and NGOs can meet up to do community organizing and recruitment to fix our backward white Christian culture ways. Interesting that the Lost Wombat has teamed up with fellow wandering Jews at Boone's Boonshine Brewery and Beer Gardens on their Tikkun Olam mission, stabbing into the heart of Appalachia. I guess selling all kinds of poison to goyim youth isn't just mitzvah, but good business as well. Or maybe he wants to talk about how chicken swinger boy investment genius Samuel Bankman Fried has been convicted on all seven federal felony fraud conspiracy and money laundering charges and faces up to 110 years in prison. Of course, we Americans can rest assured that none of the corrupt politicians that got into office from Sam the Man's generous contributions will be asked to give the money back or vacate their ill-gotten positions of power. Will Israel's Unit 269 assign Ghislaine Maxwell to be his prison guide and mentor, or will he just flee to Israel and take his chances? Or maybe he wants to talk about the new U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson's adopted black son, Michael Terrell James, being back in court, this time on charges of running an illegal cannabis business and possession of brass knuckles. It's revealed his rap sheet goes back to 2003. Obviously just another case of systemic racism in America. Did America not learn anything from the overdose death of St. George, Florida fentanyl? Did BLM burn all those cities to the ground for nothing? Or maybe he wants to talk about the new song from the Beatles, Now and Then. Which mix was better, the official Apple release or the one that the I Am a Phony group put out a few years back? Mysterious how they got copies of all the master tapes. Will Sir Bill, a.k.a. the guy who calls himself Paul McCartney, ever allow the I Am a Phony group to release the documentary The Revelation that he blocked in 2012 with a court order? Or will that be permanently memory-holed along with the January 6 tapes and the Jeffrey Epstein client list? Or maybe he'll want to talk about the leaked January 6th Capitol protest footage that shows Ray Epps, speaking of community organizers, whispering to Baked Alaska, speaking of youth leaders, "We're here to storm the Capitol. Why is everybody but these two in the American gulags?" Or maybe he wants, or speaking of gulags for uppity goyim, maybe he'll want to talk about France going full red terror with new proposed laws criminalizing any criticism of Zionism with a 5-year prison sentence and a 100,000 euro fine. After all, under sacred chicken swinger law, lowly goyim are strictly prohibited from questioning, criticizing, or mocking the self-proclaimed chosenites. It's mitzvah. Or maybe he'll want to talk about poor Bibi Netanyahu losing the narrative worldwide over his desperate invasion of Gaza, despite all the over-the-top screeching and kvetching of all these puppets in power, world leaders, that are most likely on the Jeffrey Epstein client list. Will the secret Mossad Unit 269 world leader sex tapes be seen in court or on Pornhub first? Or maybe he'll just want to talk about fishing. So welcome back to the Snack Shack, Mr. Maleficent Scott, and tell us, good sir, what do you want to talk about tonight? Oh wow, what a brilliant lineup of thought processes there, BB. Brilliant. Thanks so much for having me back on, my second time on RBN, and it's great to be here. I listen to RBN an awful lot, so yeah, it's really nice to actually be on the network as well. To go down a similar vein to you, perhaps we could talk about immigration in Cornwall, a little county in the far southwest of the UK, being a microcosm of the rest of Europe and most of white Western civilization as a whole. Or we could talk about holiday and Hollywood A-listers buying property at a rate of knots in my little coastal hometown of Morgan-Porth and pricing all the locals out of the housing market as a result. Or, if you like, and as you mentioned before, maybe we could talk a little bit about Hidden Government, the book written by my granddad back in 1954 that shows how both capitalist and communist countries, governments do not govern, but merely control the machinery of government, themselves being controlled by the hidden hand. Or perhaps you would like to talk about manufactured shortage and the intentional push to tighten the public's belts and push them further into debt slavery, a subject focused on by that same granddad in a speech delivered way back in 1936 at the Bon Accord Congregational Church of Aberdeen. Or maybe you would like to talk about the similarities of the causes of the wars throughout the ages, the aggressive psychological pushes that go hand in hand to paint a picture that will sculpt public opinion in such a way that will render support for such wars. I'm sure you have more than just a little insight into that subject, Mr. Blackbird Nine. We could even talk a little bit about the League of Empire Loyalists, a.k.a. Chesterton Trust, and Candor, the longest-standing nationalist magazine published out of the UK that serves as a link between Britons all over the world in protest against the surrender of their world heritage, which in turn could also lead us to talking about No More Darkey Day, for the little Cornish fishing village of Padstow in Cornwall, a traditional winter solstice celebration that has, for a second time, been used as a political levering tool. It may well be prudent also to talk about the hate speech laws in the UK that have already incarcerated quite a few people under its legislation, and how the petition to the UK government to stop the online safety bill and keep free speech free, quote unquote, has only gained 256 signatures from the general public since it was launched nearly a month ago. Or maybe we could go and talk about something way, way out there, like how if CO2 was really a problem, Coca-Cola might go out of business, or perhaps we should rein ourselves in so as not to stretch the public psyche too far, tenuously attached as it is in these times, and just talk about how the RMS Titanic was really the RMS Olympic that was scuttled on purpose so that JP Morgan's White Star Line could claim on the insurance. What, if any of that, piques your interest, old chap? Not to mention killing everybody who was against the Federal Reserve.
Oh, I forgot
what
to mention
a political winky dink, right? Oh, great. That was wonderful. So, how are you, good sir?
I am.
So good to talk to you again. You have been so busy this summer. We've been passing each other in time zones, but, you know.
Yeah, well, like ships in the night, as they say. Yeah, I mean, the odd meme and the odd comment passed here and there in sort of, you know, distant Skype chat rooms and stuff. Yeah, that's about the only contact we've had.
I do thank you for burning the midnight oil, as we say, by staying up very late to do the show live with me. I really appreciate it. I know that is asking a lot, so thank you so much for doing that.
In actual fact, I am normally a night owl, but I've had such a busy year of work that, but no, it's Saturday night. I have a nice cold beer waiting for me for after the show, so that will suffice. And it's a pleasure to be here. And I have to say, there are few hosts I would make the time for this late on a Saturday evening. So,
well, yeah, I really appreciate that. It definitely means a lot. So, yes, and I guess, you know, the similarities between Cornwall, you know, I remember going to Cornwall in the 1980s when it was still the wonderful British, you know, English beach side and all those wonderful trails that you could walk on through the, you know, fields and go see all the Celtic runestones and all of that. And to see the images now of just, you know, it has been invaded. And like you said, it's all these people going in and buying up the property, you know, raising the prices so the locals can't afford to live in the lands that their ancestors, you know, turned into a civilization, which is the same thing we're seeing here in these Appalachian Mountains. Yeah, all these, you know, rich people are leaving their, you know, cesspool cities and coming here and running all the people off our lands, right? And then if we get upset about it, they call us, you know, those horrible racist locals, you know, that something's got to be done about these locals, you know. And and the whole thing with the Blackies, you know, it's just like in the Netherlands. You can't have, what is it, was it Nigger Pete Day in the Netherlands? That's been going on forever. And, you know, we can't have that in multicultural Netherlands now, you know, not in Holland. And the same thing in the UK. It's, you know, sorry, your traditions, we find them offensive, but we're going to, you know, have Kwanzaa and, you know, light a menorah on your Capitol steps. And if you say anything about that, then we're going to have you arrested because that's, you know, hate speech, right? Or hate crime, right?
And, yes, very also, familiar, you know, with hate speech here in the UK, yes.
Right, and just last night I had the privilege of chatting with an old friend, Mr. Breiser, and was talking about our good friend Graham Hart, who's also from Cornwall, who got to spend a long time in the chicken shack for the high crime of writing a song that was very, very funny and very, very accurate, you know, but that, you know, they decided that it was grossly offensive, and so they put him in the chicken shack, and, you know, I'll never forget that one of my shows, a Christmas winter solstice show, nonetheless, a roundtable, was used in a Cornwall court of law to convict my friend Graham Hart. And when I tried to talk to the solicitor and the barrister to say, I want to have a say in this, to defend this, you know, I was completely shut out. And when I went to the BBC to say this is a travesty of justice, I am a son of a World War II veteran who lied about his age and joined the military to go fight for the freedom of the UK, right? And, you know, and, you know, I'm being told that my show is, you know, a criminal offense and is used in a court of law to put my friend in prison for a few years, right? And that no one would even talk to me. And the BBC, rather than, you know, saying, yes, this is a story, they wouldn't even let me comment in the comment section. They were deleting all my comments. Same thing with Cornwall Live. I would make comments, and they would delete them. And it's like cancel culture has come to the UK, just like in the USA. So, yeah, now, like I said, I used to love going to Cornwall, and it's just so sad that, you know, it's going the same way as New Boone has gone, afraid.
Well, I mean, the thing is, when I talk about the Darkie Day over here in Cornwall, there's a tiny, tiny little fishing village called Padstow in Cornwall, and every year they used to have a thing called Darkie Day, whereby they would black up their faces and basically go on a pub crawl while singing songs all day. This celebration originally came from what was Darken Day, and which was essentially celebrating the winter solstice. So Darkie Day, or Mama's Day, as it now has to be called. Mum as in mum's the word, or mum as to mask up or disguise yourself. So the original reason people used to black up their face in Cornwall was because servants would celebrate on the Boxing Day, and they black up their faces to disguise themselves from the aristocracy because it wasn't seen as being very godly. So that was one of the reasons. The other reason was is that during the American Civil War, we had over in the UK, we were very supportive of the South because all our cotton came from there, and the British textiles industry relied upon that. Britain being a very cold and damp place to sort of ideal conditions for working with cotton. And this is how the media works, even back in those days. And that is, enough fanfare was drummed up about slavery, because obviously, as you well know, and as your listeners, predominantly American, I would imagine, apart from us odd limey Brits tuning in, would know that, you know, the policy of the time, you know, Lincoln, wasn't it, didn't care about slavery per se, but because it had been turned into a political levering tool, that is what you guys fought, that's what you guys were fighting, to keep your slaves down there in the South, you see. This is so I'm led to believe, and
that's
so on
what
and so
the
forth.
Experts at Appalachian State University teach.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it was a political levering tool. You know, he even said himself that he wasn't interested in freeing a single. He'd like to win the war without freeing a single slave. He said it himself. So, but the newspapers over in the UK around that time caused such a stink over here that a bunch of workers at a Manchester textiles plant actually refused to manufacture uniforms for the South, which obviously had been requested, and they all got together because the media had essentially concentrated on this slavery issue. And Cornish people down this way, so Manchester's up in the Midlands, or up north a bit from where I am. And so
Northern scum!
But Cornwall in the southwest, I mean, the south of the UK... suffered from slavery as much as any other African continent ever did. So Cornish themselves are actually quite anti-slavery anyway. So once this sort of media cascade reached the southwest, Darkie Day or Darken Day was... I mean, there's lots of legends, local legends in Padstow. They'll tell you, oh, we dark our faces up because we saw a slave ship coming in during a storm. And it's the first time we'd ever seen dark people, so that's why we dark our faces up in celebration. There's another one that says, well, we dark our faces up in solidarity with the slaves who only got one day off a year, and that was Boxing Day, and that's why we do it then. In actual fact, I've got every reason to believe, because there was never a slave ship. You know, we weren't on a slaving route. So there was never a slave ship pulling in a storm. There can't have been. Or one wrecked and the survivors washed up and therefore black people were walking around Padstow. No, it was used as a political tool back then, show solidarity with the slaves of the South. So as a result, we have songs like Uncle Ned. Are you familiar with that one? There was an old man called Old Uncle Ned.
It's an old
plantation song. You know, no more hard work for old Uncle Ned. He's gone where the good niggers go. And I'm quoting just for you UK speech law people out there, I'm just quoting a song, all right? So that's why it was incorporated into the Padstow's Darkie Day. Fast forward to 2015, you had the first black MP that we had over here. So when was this? This was... Oh, no, it was 2006. The first black MP we had over here was a lady called Diane Abbott, who I believe is still in, you know, it's sort of in circulation. And she had, so this ticks a lot of boxes of what we're talking about here. So she had a constituent from her constituency, bearing in mind she's up somewhere in London, complain about Darkie Day. Why was that? Because this particular constituent had a second home down in Padstow and had no idea what the traditions were about. So we had a whole movement here for ages trying to ban Darkie Day. We still have Darkie Day down here, but it's not called Darkie Day. As I say, it's called Mama's Day, and you're now not allowed to wear Afro wigs when you go. There you go.
There you go. Oh, and the history bits. Have you the video that they did where you have the charismatic black man out there rewriting all of history with no facts whatsoever, but basically, you know, saying that all of British history was actually created by black people. You know the video I'm talking about?
I know the video. This comes from the we have a series over here. It's a kid's TV series called Horrible Histories. That's it. And it, what it does, and when it first started out, because I was gutted when you sent that video in one of the chats, and I looked at it, and I sent you a message saying, I can't watch anymore. I only got like a minute in or something. I can't watch anymore. I'm done. And a little puking icon next to it, you know. But Horrible Histories actually started up with a really good premise. My kids watched it when they were growing up. I mean, my kids are all sort of grown up now, but my kids watched it when they were young. And what it did was make history interesting to kids who, you know, because obviously history is an old and dusty subject and it happened years ago and no one could be bothered with it. What Horrible Histories actually did was pull out all the horrible, nasty things about history to make it interesting for kids. One of the things that they had was a thing called Stupid Deaths, where you have a guy dressed up as Death, and he's interviewing people to come through to the afterlife. And if their story isn't silly enough, he doesn't let them through. So you've got all these funny things throughout, you know, from historical figures throughout the years, from how they died. You know, one ruler over in some country overseas, you know, one of the ways that the crowd would show adoration to them would be to throw their hats and their coats into the arena where he was giving the speech. And they were so happy with him one day that they threw all their hats and coats into the arena and smothered the poor guy, and he suffocated. So things like that were on Horrible Histories, and it made history good for little kids. But now it's just gone insidious and woke, and, you know, just portraying things that were never the case.
Right. And after the break, we have to talk about the new M&S Thismas commercial that's gone viral.
Well, I better watch it in the
yeah. it's just, you know, more of this anti-tradition. Have you seen what I'm talking about yet?
No, M&S? But I'm going to watch it in the break.
Oh, okay. But it's insane. But anyway, so we're getting ready to go into the break, and you're listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack with our very special guest, Mr. Malefica Scott. And Malefica, real quick, you know, tell us, you know, what you're working on right now, and to introduce yourself to the audience before we go into the break.
Well, currently I work with Andy Hitchcock, as BB said at the beginning of the show. I work with Andy Hitchcock once a week doing the Limey show. There won't be one tomorrow. Andy's got some external things going on that he's got to take care of. And I also work with Shelley Tasker, who previous listeners to Blackbird 9 will know that Graham Hart, the guy who wrote the Hoax Train tune and who suffered for the hate speech laws, spent 2 years in prison for saying things. His daughter, Shelley Tasker, is my co-host on a show that we do on Speak Free Radio called The Curnow Connection, Curnow being Celtic for Cornwall. And we do a little bit of sort of commentary on there, but, you know, sort of everyday commentary, but also we focus on Cornish heritage too.
All right. So we're getting ready to go into break, and like I said, you're listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn, and we'll be back after these messages.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on the corner with a bucket in my hand. I'm waiting for a woman, it ain't got no man, 'cause my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
All right, we are back. You are listening to Blackbird Nine Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone back to the Trading Post. And our special guest tonight is Mr. Malefica Scott, who's returning to the show after a much too long absence. And before the break, we were talking about wokeism in the UK and this latest advert from... For Marks and Spencer's, which is a long traditional, shop, and it's all about this must instead of Christmas, and it's basically celebrating people who hate Christmas traditions, right? And one of the things I was thinking about is when I saw it was immediately thought about the reboot of Doctor Who, which they, the beloved you know, Doctor Who franchise started in the 60s that went dormant and then got rebooted after 9/11 in 2005 by the same Jewish homosexuals who gave us Queer as Folk, Russell T. Davis, and Julie Gardner, and a bunch of the other degenerates at the new BBC. And one of the things they introduced was the recurring Christmas special that had the theme, Every Christmas is Last Christmas, right? And they were always these horribly depressing Christmas episodes that just got darker and darker and darker and woker and woker and woker and, you know, more diverse every time. They just kept pushing the envelope. And so, you know, what is the status with this totally woke advertising and programming that's coming out of the media in the UK?
Well, I've just, in the break, I've actually just looked at that advert for M&S or Marks and Spencer's, as they say over here. Now, I have to say, Marks and Spencer's is sort of like a household name over here in the UK. I suppose it's like something like, the only thing I can compare it to is something like Macy's over in the US. Even I've heard of Macy's, do you know what I mean? I don't know whether it even still exists over there, but I'm going back to my 80s and 90s films because I don't do fiction. I haven't done fiction for years. But so Marks and Spencer's was a household name, always has been a household name, and it nearly went under a decade or so ago, maybe a bit more, because it's associated with selling clothes for old people, basically. So they've had to sort of revamp their image, and obviously they've spent millions on marketing and this, that, and the other. So I've just watched that advert. It looks like every other advert on UK TV, and that is, it's got a family that have got together that have got so many nationalities in. You cannot possibly believe that any family would be that quote unquote diverse. And it is also basically stripping all the guts out of Christmas and saying, just get rid of your traditions and just do what you want this Christmas. Just typical of the last time I was on, we were talking about gradualism, and this is just typical of that. It's just, you know, it's just a product of that. We've just moved that little drip on the forehead further. That's it.
Right. It's that Marxist, you know, two steps forward, one step back. You know, we'll push and push and push, and then the public will complain, and we'll say, okay, well, we'll change it back a little bit, and then when everybody calms back down, then they go two steps more forward. So yeah. We've got some calls lined up. So, Mr. Producer, could we have Mr. Chance in West Virginia, please? Mr. Chance, are you there, sir?
Yes. Howdy, Snack Shackster. And Maleficus the Magnificent.
Happy Saturday.
Howdy, Maleficus the Magnificent.
Howdy, sir.
I just had cataract surgery, and I could see again after 2 years. Yay, Eureka.
Yay, that is amazing. Atma had that a few years back, and it was the miracle. It's like, oh, my gosh, I hate white coats, but this is just amazing. This is magic.
I can't believe it, man. I couldn't see at all for 2 years. All right, well, that's not the reason I called. You know, it just goes to show again, you know, the hypocrisy of these douchebags with the mega simoleons. You know, they ruin their areas with their insane libtard ideas, and then they decide to flee, and then they buy up our little quiet enclaves, huh? And, you know,
exactly.
And if they don't feel with them. Yeah, and, you know, and if they don't feel like paying the price, you know, for our land, well, hell, then they just burn us out, a la Lahaina, Maui, right?
Disaster capitalism.
I'm telling you, man, this is a vicious cycle, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
What they've done down here in Cornwall, because Cornwall basically relies on the tourist trade, so people are quite, you know, you've got to make your money in the summer. And, you know, what occurred a few years ago in my hometown, Morganporth, was Kate Winslet bought a house there, knocked it flat, built some monstrosity, visited it a couple of times, and then put it on the market. And as a result, the road I grew up on, about I don't know, 6-7 years ago, was the most expensive real estate in the UK. And now you've got the likes of Jason Momoa and all these other sort of Hollywood A-listers moving to my old hometown. They've got no connection there. They've got, you know, why have they chosen, why did they have to choose my hometown? Why couldn't they have chosen the way down the road?
They don't care whose hometown they choose. As long as it's quiet and peaceful, they decide to just take it right over. Boy, talk about a racket, huh? I mean, absolutely. What bothers me most, though, is their hypocrisy. How they ruin where they come from, and then they make believe they support all these crazy ideas, but yet again, they pack their Samsonites and they run. I mean, wow, man. Well, that's all I wanted to say, guys. Good show now.
All right. Thanks for calling, Mr. Chance, and congratulations on being able to see you again. That's awesome. All right, congrats. Mr. Producer, can we have Mr. Bill in Kentucky? Mr. Bill, are you there, sir?
I just want to tell you something. Are you from Boone, North Carolina area there? Is that where you said you were from?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know that area pretty good. I'm from Kentucky, but when he was a little boy, he was from Mountain City, Tennessee, right across the state line. In fact, you could almost throw a rock into North Carolina almost literally where he grew up at. So I go through Damascus, Virginia, and Abingdon and Mountain City down that way. And I remember when I was a kid, we go to Boone and Blowing Rock and that region. When I was a little boy, and then I took my kids later, Tweetsie Railroad and some of that stuff around there. And buddy, I've seen over the years how that area's changed. Boone's getting to be kind of like a little Asheville, North Carolina. But Asheville is a place at one time I actually would have wanted to have moved to, but not anymore. Asheville is like little Portland or little Seattle, and Boone seems like a mini version of that. And Boone used to be like a little Gatlinburg area without all the commercialism and everything, but now you've got all these people in New York, and this is nothing against New York or New Jersey or Michigan or any of those places like that, but you got all these Yankees, if you want to use the word, they come in there, buy up all the local people, and I'm even seeing in Kentucky a smaller version of that, like around Red River Gorge and Cumberland Falls area, if you know anything about those areas.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's sad to see, you know, and I don't mean anything personally against those people, but it's like here in Kentucky, you have a lot of, they would move up north Ohio, Michigan, and come back, but now it's not so much as New York and to a lesser extent California, and they're even moving in here in the around the areas, like, you know, like they a lot of those people used to be real disdainful of like the quote unquote hillbillies and rednecks, if you want to use those terms, and they come in, they used to look down, now they're the salt of the earth, they're getting away from their cesspools, I guess you could call it, you know. So that's basically what I want to tell you. I feel for you guys over in Boone and Blowing Rock, and then also down toward Asheville, and what's that place, Maggie Valley, and
oh yeah,
Waynesville.
You know, said we're going to do the same thing to Asheville, what they did to Asheville, they're doing to us. And yeah, they don't want to assimilate. They don't want to adopt the culture. They just want to change it. They're like, oh, nice, safe, wonderful community. We're going to destroy it with our philosophy, you know, and this is what they do. And the same thing has happened to Cornwall and all these other places that were just used to be just idyllic, like you said, you know, little holiday, you know, vacation tourist areas that are now, you know, these little Seattles, little Atlantas that nobody, you know, you're not safe there anymore. And the crime goes up and everything else. Go ahead.
I was going to say they call Morgan Porth, where I grew up, Hollywood-on-Sea. That's what they call, that's what all the locals are calling it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So anything else, Mr. Bill?
But I'll tell you something. That's one thing, and I guess the English fells with you. That's, I know in Boone or outside of Grandfather Mountain, I went one time to that Scottish Highland where they throw them big old telephone pole looking things. Those guys are brutes.
Oh, the Highland Games.
The Highland Games.
Yeah. Even that, when they did the Highland Games after COVID, because they had to shut it down during the COVID 9/11, right? But the big promotional poster had a little black kid with a kilt on, you know, and that was the image of the Scottish Highland Games, right? And it's just like, this is insanity with this wokeism. So, and a Mountain City, that's one of our treats to run over to Mountain City, because there's this little hole-in-the-wall place called Mike's Barbecue. And whenever I want to treat the crew to some really good barbecue, I go across the line and bring it back. And it's a nice little trip across the mountain to Mountain City, but it is definitely worth it. So, Mr. Bill, thank you so much for the call, and you have a great weekend. Okay, Mr. Producer, can we have Mr. Art in Georgia? Mr. Art, are you there, sir?
Hey, good morning, or good evening, gentlemen. I don't know why I'm thinking morning. My brain ain't right today. I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what's going on with these wars over there. Just something that occurred to me today with our involvement. I got to thinking, I was talking to some folks, and we were talking about what would it take to cripple the United States at this point. And I had called in a couple other shows and had talked about, you know, with the war in Europe with Ukraine and Russia, the war in the Middle East with Israel and Hamas. You know, it wouldn't be a far-fetched thought that, this would be the optimal time for China to go after Taiwan. And that would really spread us thin if we tried to get involved there. And that would open us up for an attack. But then I got to thinking today as I was talking with some folks, I said, you know, it wouldn't even have to take China to do this. All it would take, think about where the oil comes from. It comes out of the Persian Gulf through the Straits of Hormuz, down around Oman, south of Yemen into the Gulf of Aden, and then up through the Red Sea, and then finds its way out through the Mediterranean and then into the Atlantic Ocean, and then finds its way over here. Well, just imagine this, if you will. Iran shuts down the Straits of Hormuz. No oil gets through. Yemen and you could probably say Sudan maybe, Djibouti maybe, someone, but most likely Yemen, shut down the channel there that goes from the Gulf of Aden into the Red Sea, so no oil gets through there. That cripples us right there. We're basically out of the picture at that point. And then they would have no other option but to either reopen the Keystone Pipeline, and begin drilling over here. What say you?
Mr. Maleficus?
Well, isn't it funny how you thought of that, and those powers at be apparently haven't? You know, and I always look to the... I always look back to the old phrase, if my boys didn't want war, then there wouldn't be any.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen a weak link in the chain there. Why isn't it being exploited?
That's a good question. I'm kind of curious about that myself, because I'm surprised that no one, it's like, has nobody else thought about this? I mean, if a dumb, ignorant redneck like me can figure this out, it shouldn't be too far-fetched that somebody else could figure it out who's a heck of a lot smarter than I am.
And so war perpetuates. And that's the way I think it goes. I think my honest opinion is that, going back to my granddad's book, why is it banks create money lavishly for wars, and as soon as peace is mentioned, credit is immediately restricted?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And one other thing, y'all mentioned the Civil War earlier and brought slavery into the picture, and a lot of people really do not understand the true reason for the Civil War. It began as the North wanted to reunify the country, and the South wanted its independence. But as the war progressed, it became a social, economic, and political revolution. And that's where slavery came into the picture. But originally, it was a division between the North and the South, where the South wanted its independence and the North wanted reunification. Just a little history lesson for folks that, that are lacking in that bit of information.
Slavery was absolutely used purely for political leverage and public opinion, nothing else.
Yep, and you were right. Lincoln said, if I could win the war today, if I could end the war today without ending slavery, I'd do so.
Yeah. Thank you for backing me up on that.
So, he did say that.
But yes.
Anyway, thank you, gentlemen. You have a great evening.
Yeah, great call. I like your game model, and that's very similar to when I'm gaming all this out and driving myself crazy. if this happens, then this happens, then this happens. And I think you're pretty spot on with your analysis, so great call.
Yeah, thanks.
You have a good weekend. All right, Mr. Producer, can we have Miss Lynn in Maryland, please? Miss Lynn, are you there?
I am. Thank you so much. I've been enjoying your show. I really appreciate y'all. But actually, the last gentleman got me thinking about Gaza. But first off, is it Charles in West Virginia? Had eye surgery?
Yeah, Chance.
Chance. Yes. Okay, he's in my prayers. Don't be looking at screens till you recovered, okay? Stay away from computer screens. Let your eyes heal and rest. Okay, Gaza. Actually, because I haven't shared this, one thing I know for sure, there was a guy, Josh Paul, who worked for the State Department. He resigned. Now, we all need guts like that. He resigned his job with the State Department because guess what? That supplemental bill from Biden does not require any oversight of the money for military aid for Israel. So they can go buy weapons and sell them and make a profit with our money. Guess what? Give them to Hamas, those terrorists that they created. But the other thing I also heard, and I can't remember where I heard it, but it was somewhere legitimate. There's oil in their land in Gaza. So, that may be why they want everybody off the land, but they just want the Palestinians out of there. And they get enough of everybody else so we don't have a fit. They're just going to kill them. They can't run them into Egypt. They're going to kill them. They're already killing them. I think that's tragic. I really do. Because what? They're going to come here next? Because clearly, do we not see that we in the United States have been shamed? I mean, Blinken didn't even kiss the ring, I don't think. But, they're not going to listen to us for a pause. Our opinion doesn't count, but they'll take our money and put it in legislators' pockets, because that's the only thing they do for us. Okay, I'm done ranting. I appreciate y'all very, very much.
Well, hang on. Don't go away yet. Malificus, you want to address that?
I just have to say, this is why it's a privilege to jump onto RBN, because I know that most of the listeners are so clued up. I wish I could say that small paragraph that you've just said to half the people I know and them just go, oh, yeah. I get you. But I can't. So it's a real privilege to be on with such astute listeners. Honestly, it really is.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, definitely.
I actually hear Pat in my head, Pat from Texas, who passed away.
Oh, I know.
The thing with Josh Paul, I heard on Democracy Now! On Friday. So give a reference.
Well, a couple of things to think about is that, one, there's a huge natural gas deposit off the coast of Gaza that everybody wants. They won't let the Gazans develop it. And then one of the other things is the Ben-Gurion Canal to basically be competition to the Suez Canal, where basically they're going to blast through the middle of Gaza and turn it into a big shipping lane, right? And so these are a couple of other plans in the works that, you know, in addition to just the genocide of the people to make way for greater Israel. This is just part of that, you know, old plan that Theodore Herzl came up with long ago, that they want everything from the Nile to the Euphrates. And they've been, you know, eating away since 1948 to get it. And I just think, you know, Bibi was, you know, he was getting ready to go to jail. He was in the middle of a civil war. So what a great time to start another war with somebody else rather than have a civil war, right?
And have get a little bit more. Terrorist go and kill 1,400 people to distract from him.
Right. And, you know, Hamas is an Israeli Mossad creation. They admit that, you know, this was their way of stopping this two-state solution from ever happening. So, you know, these are the facts, but, you know, you've got all that emotionalism. I haven't seen this kind of emotionalism in the media since 9/11. And it was just maddening because I was backstage on 9/11 and I'm sitting there going, that's not what's going on. They're lying to you. They're lying to you. But it's just, you got this megaphone in lockstep and you're like, is it just going to have to play itself out because nobody's listening to reason because they're all pushing this agenda? So what do you think, Maleficus?
Well, you know, this is, I had a conversation before I came on air this evening with a friend of mine, and I said, look, you know, he said, a lot of people are waking up. A lot of people know what's going on. I said, yeah. I said, but the biggest problem we've got is that, he said, it's just a small minority. It's just a small, I said, I know it's just a small minority, but they've got the loudest voice. And most people, apart from RBN listeners, it would appear, most people just curtail to it because, you know, oh, just take away whatever freedoms you want, you know, as long as I've got my convenience and my creature comforts. That's what the mentality of most people is, sadly. So
how many people demonstrated in D.C. today? Does anybody know?
Oh, it was huge. And, you know, you had D.C., you had London at Trafalgar Square, you had Berlin, you had just every place. There were these huge demonstrations against Israel. And so
most of it is being taken over by the Hamas and the Free Palestine people, and they are hanging Palestinian flags on places like the Cenotaph and on places like you know, the statue of Boadicea. That's you know, all these British traditions, there shouldn't be. I agree with Shelley's friend that she had on to a certain extent on her show this week, the Shelley Tasker show. Her friend said, you know, no other flag needs to be in Britain other than a British flag.
Exactly.
But we need to, you know, what we're fighting is Israeli propaganda. And that's a huge, huge machine. I mean, I've been reading James Bamford's book, Spy Fail. And, I mean, that's just the trolls and everything else. I mean, they get professors and everybody else fired. And, you know, Dick Durbin, it's the only person I know of in Congress at this point other than the 20 or so that already were okay. But, yeah. I mean, to turn anybody in Congress because of all the money in their pockets, it's almost impossible. Believe me, I made hundreds of phone calls the past couple weeks. So I just went for staffers. Thank you. I'll let you go. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So
I hate to cut you off, but we are about out of time. You've been listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackman. I'd like to thank Maleficus Scott once again for coming with us. Maleficus, last word.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and all you listeners out there, take care, and just keep the faith, man. We'll get through this.
All right. Thank you so much for staying, and go enjoy that cold pint. And until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.